share with you machshava. The Baba has this aura that if you look before Matan Torah, Moshe Rabbeinu is given a series of psukim to say to Klal Yisrael before Matan Torah, and it's very clear that so Rashi says that the word kahanim over here does mamlechus kahanim means sorim. So the message to Klal Yisrael is a very clear message that Klal Yisrael is their princes. Klal Yisrael, that these are the leaders of the world. These are the elite of the world. Why is that important to give that hakdama before Matan Torah? Why is that? Bedafka, these are the words Moshe Rabbeinu has to say, and Rashi points out, Ela Devar Moshe, these are the words, specifically these words. You can't change the words. You have to make sure that you stress these words. One of the issues that people grapple with is we sit in yeshiva, you learn Musar, and there's a concept called Anivus. And Anivus, you know, usually goes with the story of that, you know, the person learns in the Vardic and he says it's been a garnish. The guy says next to him, I'm a bigger gardener, you know, good, you know. Right? We have this issue of that you said of Anivus says I'm a nothing. And one of the Gedolei Chassidus said that the person has a chiyuv to have two pieces of paper in his pocket. One piece of paper says, Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. Another one says, Bishili Nivra Ha'olam. The whole world was created for me. The Gemara says it's Gemara Sanhedrin, the fourth parak. The Chai Vadim Lormer, Bishili Nivra Ha'olam. The whole world was created for me. So I have one pasuk says Anochi Ofer Ve'efer. One pasuk says, one piece of paper says, Bishili Nivra Ha'olam. Marmer Chazal. So the Rebbe said, you have to know when to bring out each piece of paper. So you go to this person and you say, you know, we would like you to take responsibility and lead something. He says, me? I'm not going to offer a wafer. I'm going to pay someone a garnished. Next day, somebody in shul insults him. He says, me? You're being insulting? I should lead it for Ireland. My mom is like the most important person in the world. So that's wrong. He says, maybe it should be the other way around. When I asked you to take a krayis and lead something, I'm taka kosher person. Somebody insults you, say, no, I cannot go for wafers. You have to know when to pull out the right piece of paper, he said. Some people pull it out at the wrong moments. But there's a piece in the Rebbeinu Yarno, and he has a sefer, Shari Avoyde. You read the piece, and this is the Rebbeinu Yarno, like, you know, the Baal Musa of the Rebbeinu Yarno, and you realize that we're missing something. This is the beginning of the sefer. HaPesach HaRishon, the first point of Avoida, Shied Ho'ish Ho'ovet Erech Atzmoy V'yakar Ma'alosu Ma'alos Avoysov. The person has to know his value. He has to know the Ma'alos that he has. The Gedulosu Mechashivusu Mechibosu Meitzel HaBarius Baruch. He has to know how valuable he is. He has to know how valuable his Yichus is. And he has to Yishtalu Yishchazik Tomei Lahamid Atzmoy B'Ma'alohu. Once you realize, then you want to maintain that. You realize who you are. You're a Ben Melech. So you have to maintain yourself. Now, if a person thinks that if he realizes, he thinks I'm not so important. It's a very easy, he'll go his own ways, do his own things. He's not going to keep Torah mitzvahs. Chavis Lvovis has come out the same nusach. Chavis Lvovis in Shara Kaniya. Samam, I meant to point out that Chavis Lvovis was the first. It's the first Musa Sefer. Chavis Lvovis was written before Rashi. It's the first Musa Sefer that we have. After Gemara and Kamat, there was no, you know, there were a few some were written, you have Chubas were written, then you have, there were the Sifrei Halacha which were written, you have the Halachas Gedolos, Halachas Pesukos, then you have the Shiltas, which was to show the Drushes, how the Halachas came from the Drushes, etc. Yechavos Lvovos is the first Musar Sefer that we have. In Shara Kaniya, he writes, you have to understand what Haknah is. So he says, a person comes along and says, some people think that Ozus Yad Veregesh Nechisa Shel Nefesh. I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. I feel worthless. I feel lowly. Samela, something bothers me. I have no right to push back and to stop it because I'm a nobody. I'm a nothing. You know, I'm a garnished. Right? She says this betzim belongs by the Ksilim and Amayoris. This is for fools and Amayrats. Hachno Amitis is not like that. He's lifted up. after Shigbiyas Atzam, after he's lifted himself up, he looks back and says, okay, but now Klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Klapi my responsibilities, Klapi HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I have nothing to be bespoir about, I have nothing to boast about, I have nothing to demand recognition for. But I am somebody kosher, I'm not a nothing. There's a piece for Reb Tzadik, which this piece of Reb Tzadik is sitting by me a lot of years. I remember I spoke about this piece of Reb Tzadik and tells Yeshiva and Yom Kippur as a bacher. So a few years ago, probably 1982, I think. Reb Tzadik says a fascinating thing. He says that part of your emunah in HaKadosh Baruch Hu is b'chayv emunah in yourself. So what's all that's at? So the Baruch Hu created you. He didn't make a mistake. He made you the way he made you. He didn't make a mistake. With all of your concerns and all of your problems, the Baruch Hu made you with your natiyas and with your challenges and with your matzav and all else thing. Aleph. Beis, besides making you like that, the Baruch Hu says he wants a relationship with you. So he probably doesn't know who you are. Of course he knows who you are. So the Baruch Hu made you like this and he wants a relationship with you. That itself is the source of your chashivas. It's a very chashiv thing. I had a conversation with a bacher who has low self-esteem issues. And so, you know, we're mechazik him, etc., etc. So he says, you know, he's going to start making a list of his milas. So he came with a list of his milas. You know, he had four or five or six or seven or eight or 10 or 15 or 20 or 30, whatever it is. He came up with like 30-something list of his milas. I was like, a little bit mugzam. That's something I wanted. But anyway, and he started to say that he's going to read it every day and feel better about it. It lasted about 3 weeks. Then he said, it didn't give him the oomph anymore. He says, because that's not what I meant. I didn't mean because you're the most wonderful person in the world, and therefore, I meant because you exist, and the person wants a relationship with you. That's it. Be'etzem, intrinsically, you have a chashivas. The Russian made Nishmas Yisrael. He made you. He connects with you. He talks to you. He's interested in you. He hears from you. So you're chashiv. End the conversation. I don't have to be more chashiv, and I'm better at to be good, to be valuable. That's ridiculous. I'm be'etzem. That was the problem. We measure ourselves vis-a-vis everybody else. That's a mistake. There's a mimer I heard from the name of Reb Chatzka Levenstein. Reb Chatzka Levenstein, just to understand the mimer, the background of the mimer, one of our rebbeim intels, Yavin Aroyim, before Tkiyas Shofar, so they didn't have any type of, you know, drasha before Tkiyas Shofar. A lot of people did not even go to eat. They would go eat quickly and then come back. But they would have, during that time that the people went to eat, this rebbe would sit and he would learn Musar. With a niggun. You know, a lot of you probably never experienced Musa with a niggun, because we don't do Musa with a niggun over here. And he said, learn Musa to himself with a niggun and cry his heart out. Now, I needed to know what Sefer he's learning. So I finally got my hands on the Sefer. What was he learning? Reb Chatzka Levenstein, Zichr Livracha, was a tremendous tzaddik. His own children said that they had a pachet from him. His sitkas were such a sitkas, his own children, his own daughters, had a pachet from Reb Chatzka. One of my older chaverim learned the Panyavich. Reb Chatzka was the Meshkech and Panyavich. After the mirror, he went to Panyavich. He said, the Reb Chatzka Shmuzin, like you'd walk in Reb Chatzka Shmuzin, you'd come out like this big. Eli, like this big. Like this big. That was the way he described it. Kitzer, what is this country? It's this country of the Shmuzin that Reb Chatzka said before the Six-Day War. Now, the Six-Day War was, for you, it's history. Right? It was Pachat Bechadim, the Six-Day War. Right? Egypt, Syria were amassing armies. They made very clear their plans are to destroy every single Jew. That the river, that the streets of Tel Aviv will run red with the blood of the Jews into the sea. That was the language that they used. The armies that they had, the support by the Russians that they had, the U.S. did not want to get involved. And it was the Russians on one side with and it's the Jews. The matzah was Pachat Bechadim. It was pachad b'chadim. It was mamish. It was mind-boggling. So Reb Chatzka said shemuzin to the bachur in Panyavich before that tkufa. So I got the kuntres, the little kuntres. I have the kuntres, and the best way to describe that kuntres is each paragraph is a sledgehammer. That's the best way to describe it. You know, you're very possible tomorrow you're going to die. That's basically that was the reality. It wasn't a musa shemuz. That was the reality. And let's recognize that on the tshuva. and let's think about what we're doing wrong. And it was very, very intense. Not from the easiest shmuzim to listen to. And that was Reb Katzkel. Okay. So I have a chaver whose father was with Reb Katzkel in Shanghai. Reb Katzkel was with the yeshiva in Shanghai. Reb Katzkel was from Chaim Shulevitz. And Reb Katzkel was achroy to keep up the spirits of the Bacharim. Like he was the Mashiach. So this person said over from his father, the Reb Katzkel said a nusach, he says, yeder mensch daf alefel of kovod yeder tog. Every person needs a spoonful of kovod every day. This is Reb Katzkel talking. I said, one second, who, please? Reb Katzkel? Yeder mensch daf alefel of kovod yeder tog. Every person needs a spoonful of kovod every day. And I don't know what he means. What does kovod mean? So we're used to this mussar of kavod. It's a mussar shibuz in yeshiva. Kavod is bad. Kavod is bad. Kavod is not bad. Kavod is the most intrinsic basic need a human being has. Kavod means a recognition that you're valuable, that you're weighty. The word kavod comes from the word kaved. Rabbi says you're heavy, you're significant, you have weight to you, you have gravity. We even use these words, you know, in English. Gravitas. That's the words that we use. That's what kavod means. We need to know that we're valuable. If we're not valuable and we have no awareness at all that we are valuable, most the people who get to that level usually take a quick step out of this world. What am I here for? Might as well just get it over with already. Every person has to know that he's valuable. Every person has to recognize that the brush will put here for a reason and he is significant. The challenge is, where do you get it from? Where do you get that recognition from? Within yourself. It means you're healthy. And you have no need to get the validation from other people. Or if you feel that you don't have that, you have to get it from somebody else. That's not healthy. So I want to contrast two stories to bring out this point. The first story actually is a sefer they put out from Reb Katzkel Shmuzin that he said in Shanghai. In the back they have stories, the different maisim that he said over there in the back. So one of the maisim that he said over there is the following maisa, that Rishon Salanter's original plan, he was a Talmud of Yosef Zundel. Yosef Zundel was a Gaon Olam. He was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He's one of the Iker Talmud of Reb Chaim Volozhiner. He was not known at all. He lived in a city as the Shamish in the Shul. People thought he's an Amor Eretz Gomer. And his this way, he was able to stay focused on his Avodah Hashem without worrying about people thinking about it. Rabbi Israel eventually realized who this person was, and he decided he wants to go the same path. He wants to go the same path as Reb Zundel. That he's going to be a tzaddik nister. Or he didn't call himself a tzaddik. He's going to be a nister. So to do this, he realized he needed to accomplish two things. First of all, he had to memorize everything that he wanted to learn, kultur kula that he wanted to learn, he memorized, balpeh, word for word. So he never would open a sefer. Because you pretend you're not Moritz, you can't be open, learning a Zayir, right? You know, that's not going to work. Or learning a Gemara, right? So he memorized Shas, balpeh, word for word, all of Shas, and all of the Torah that he wanted to know. He memorized all those balpeh. That was the first thing that he got. The second thing is he learned to take his davening, or Sosalatra's davening, you can imagine was a little bit better than ours, right? And he made it look like, you know, the Balagola's davening, the guy stands in the back, you know, the 3-minute flat, Shemon Esrei, you know, with no emotion, you know, emotionless attention. So I'm reading the shtickel, I think to myself, you know, if I would know Shas Bapeh, I would want you to know about it. I can't tell you, because that's not nice. That's like a, you know, that's like a bit, that's lowly to tell you. But I would find ways to let you know. You know, you drop a hint there, you drop a hint there. You know, talking, they said, yeah, oh yeah, like, Zavachim Samach Aleph on the bottom, the last line. You know, I would throw lines here and there, and you'd pick up eventually that I know Shas Balpeh. But Shas Balpeh did not want you to know that he knew Shas Balpeh. He wanted the opposite. Because he didn't need your validation. He didn't need anybody's validation. He has to have covered. He has to know he's valuable. He knew he's valuable. The Russian made him. The Russian gave him validation. The Russian said he's here. That's it. End the conversation. If the Russian thinks you're good, good. The Russian, whatever people say about you, not important. The Russian thinks you're bad, also not important what people think about you. Everybody else is irrelevant. That's one side. The other side was a story which took place here in Washington, D.C., about 10, 11 years ago. I mentioned it in the Shmuz once. I mentioned the Shmuz afterwards. I actually looked up the actual story. So the story, there's a violinist named Joshua Bell. He's considered probably one of the top violinists in the world right now, or the top or one of the top violinists in the world. The Washington Post asked him if he was willing to participate in a social experiment. Social experiment is that they're going to put him on a Monday morning in the subway station, L'Enfant Plaza downtown, during rush hour in the morning, dressed up like a mendicant, you know, with a baseball cap, jeans, t-shirt, and play violin music. He played six pieces of Bach for 43 minutes straight, basically. And they're going to have a video camera watching him. They're going to see how many people are going to stop and actually listen during that time. That was the experiment. Now, the violin that he was using was his Stradivarius. It's worth over $3 million. According to some estimations, it's worth over $10 million. Right? So he's sitting in Montfort Plaza with his Stradivarius playing one of the most gorgeous pieces of violin music in the world for free. Now, he was in Washington for the purpose. He was actually invited to Washington to receive an award for his contribution to violin music. Two nights before, he played in Boston Symphony. The cheapest ticket was $100 a person. That's like for the nosebleeds. Right? And here he's playing, right? So they asked different musicians, different conductors, etc., what do they think about this experiment without saying the name of the person? So, you know, they say, you know, a good violinist. They said, yeah, probably you get 35, 40, 50, 100 people, you know, eventually would stop, etc. Right? How much money would he make? You know, he put a few dollars into the violin case, you know, the seed money to start it going. How much money would he make? $150, $200, etc. So the kids are... They counted 1,097 people passing by this individual during this period of time. Seven people stopped. The longest individual who stopped was a young boy who was mesmerized by the music, and you can see in the video the mother trying to stop to get away. He made $27, I think. And he put in, I think, a lot of it was, he put the money to start with, a few dollars he put in. So he made about $20. So the point of the article was, can you appreciate beauty without the proper setting? That was the point of the article. This was picked up by one of the Frum, you know, h.com, whatever it was, one of these places, and they put it on. So I said, I want to see the original article. I go back to the original article, and there's a part of the article which they did not quote in their the Frum version, which I think is very important to what we're talking about. So whether they asked Joshua Bell, they asked him, like, what was his emotion when he was going into L'Enfant Plaza to do this? What was he feeling? He says he was very nervous. I said, why are you nervous? He said, I'm not sure what the reaction to my music would be. So I'm reading this. So then they say, in general, when you perform, are you nervous? He said, no. So he said, Maishna. He says, it's very simple. When I go to a concert hall, people validate me before I start. They pay money to hear me. Right? But over here, they didn't validate me beforehand. This is what he said. Now, this person is considered by the top musicians of the world, the top violinist of the world. He just received an award for his recognition of his contribution to violin music. People paid at least $100 two nights beforehand to come hear him. That was the cheapest ticket. He's standing in Alpha Plaza. There's somebody who's going to walk by who he'll never see again. He's going to say, Pah! And he's nervous about it. That's called low self-esteem, Rabbi said. This person needs validation. He needs applause. He needs accolades. He's so dependent on it that he's nervous. So you have your Sosalant at one end, that Badafka doesn't want you to know who he is. And over here, a person on the other end was already told he's wonderful, 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 wonderful. He says, am I wonderful? Maybe there's going to be one kid walking by who's going to insult me. So the Miri says, a person who's Mavakish covered is worse off than an Ibn Avodah Zarah. Why? Person of Akash covered is over every single human being in the world. He bows down to every human being in the world. Every human being needs to give him validation. Even the 5-year-old kid is a source of validation for him. You can't be Eved HaKadosh Baruch Hu from that vantage point. You're busy thinking about what the world's thinking about you. You're going to be drawn. You're not healthy. You're going to be sad. You're going to be defined by other people. Rashi says, first off, I want you to know who you are. What people think about you is irrelevant. What I think about you is important, and I think very highly of you. I think that you're very significant. I made you. I want you. So Rav Volba says that the Hakdama to Matan Torah has to be that you're valuable. That you're Kohanim, that you're Sorim, that you're the leaders of the world, you're the elite of the world. I remember once it was a Shulam Bar Shashiva. He got up. In Europe, there was a big problem with the Yeshiva Bachram. Right? In Europe, the Yeshiva didn't serve food. So where did the Bachram get food? They got served by Balabatim. So they had tag. You would eat by certain, one person on Monday, one person on Tuesday, etc. So basically, you were totally in these people's handouts. And the attitude of the people giving the handouts was not very positive. So the Bachram, looked down upon themselves. And the attitude of Klal, sadly enough, but before World War I, much more so after World War I, the attitude towards the Yeshiva Bachram was very negative. The general attitude towards the Yeshiva Bachram, even the Beit Frumah, in Europe, was not very, that these are the people who can't get a job, the Lo Yutzlachs become Yeshiva Bachram. That was the attitude. The Bachram needed to have chashivas for himself. The stress that you had in Slobodka about Kovat Atzmai was Bedafka to be Mechavik, the exact opposite. That's not what a human, you are Choshev. Every human being is Choshev. Every Yisrael is Choshev. Aben Torah is that much more Choshev. So Rav Leizer tells her, when he started his yeshiva, he made a dining room. The Bacham shouldn't have to be totally in the bell about it. So he said, I am going to put epaulets on my Bacham shoulders. Epaulets are the braids that the generals wear, and they're going to be chashuv. That's why Bedafka and Haga in Europe was that the Bachram dressed very nicely. They wore ties, they had hats, they had nice hairstyles. Bedafka, to mechazit to them that you're not lowlifes, you're chashuv. They need to mechazit themselves this nekuda, because if they want to be able to withstand the social pressure that you're not chashuv, you need to understand, you mechazit yourself again and again and again. No, you are chashuv. So a nevus is not that you're worthless. A nevus is b'shili nivir ha'olam. And therefore, since b'shili nivir ha'olam, I don't need your accolades, I don't need your recognition, I'm comfortable with who I am. I don't feel that I deserve any accolades. I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to me and my Creator. Now I can focus outward and be a nice saint to other people, help other people. Because I'm not worried about your reaction. I'm worried about what I'm supposed to do. It's a much healthier approach to avoid it. Now, what Rav Kotzka was saying, every person needs a constant reminder that every single day he has to feed himself a spoonful of kavod. How do we do this? So the psukim say like this, right? Rashi says that Bershim said that I took you out of Mitzrayim. I'll camp in a shorim, Mavias Kamez Loi. Rashi says, Mitzrayim really deserved to be punished way before you came along. Mitzrayim was not from the biggest tzaddikim in this world. They had plenty of things that they were doing wrong. But I only punished them for you. Now, if we understand, like Bershim says, the Moritz and Hadron goes to this whole nusach that when a rush is being killed, the Bershim says, "Kilani mi rosh dikani mizra." I feel heavy. I feel frustrated. I feel pain. I feel sad. That's for one Russia being killed. What about for two? What about for ten? What about for hundreds? What about for thousands? So the destruction of Mitzrayim was painful for Kadosh Baruch Hu. But he did it for Klal Yisrael, because that is the message which will get the message across to Klal Yisrael. You know how uncomfortable I am doing this, but for you I'll do it. Because you deserve it. You are important. And Kleisel is oimed on this Likuda. So maybe one of the Likuda, one of the Bechinas of Yetzias Mitzrayim, there's a... Let's see, Mishalom brings... from the Sfar Makedoshim, that it says 50 times Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Torah, because there's 50 different Bechinas of Yetzias Mitzrayim. Beautiful Lashon, whatever that means. What does it mean? Yetzias Mitzrayim expressed itself in the physical Yetziah. It expressed itself in a spiritual Yetziah. It expressed itself in a psychological Yetziah. It expressed itself in a financial Yetziah. It expressed itself in many different ways. There are many different elements of Yetzias Mitzrayim. This message was to the psyche of Klal Yisrael. You're not avadim. You're not lowlifes. You're not people which people are downtrodden and can be done to it. You are the elite of the world. When I was a bacher, there used to be something called the Kinnas B'nai Torah. So Kinnas B'nai Torah was a fascinating thing. It was Chol HaMoed Pesach, Chol HaMoed Sukkos in the New York area. And basically all of the B'nai Torah of the tri-state area would get together one day Chol HaMoed, and Rav Moshe spoke one time, Rav Yaakov spoke, Rav Gifter spoke one time. Right, it was in the Gouda of 14th Avenue in Borough Park, which is not there anymore. The room held about 900, 1,000 people. And basically that's all there was. So this is like 1975. There was, in the tri-state area, there was about 1,000 B'nai Torah. That was it. So a person walks in and says, you know, there's 1,000 of us and that's it. So maybe that helps a little bit to understand his role. Now we have this sefer. There's 100,000 of us. You know, so what am I? One out of 100,000. But again, we're defining ourselves outside of ourselves, and that's incorrect. And that's what Tzadok is saying. If you believe in a Kadosh Baruch Hu, you believe that Baruch Hu made you. The person Chas V'Shalom doesn't believe in that. If everything is a mikra, it just happened to be that, you know, some molecules got together and made man. So we have no value. We're valueless. We have zero value more than the amoeba, which is not very significant. The Baruch Hu created man. He created me. He recreates me every single morning. He gives me chias every single moment because I am important to him. That's it. Am I better than you? Irrelevant. Am I worse than you? Also irrelevant. I don't measure myself outside of anything else than the fact that I have a relationship with my Creator. That's what Klaisa was able to absorb by Yetzias Mitzrayim. So I think if you Chaibat Amir says out to Hiliyotim and Mitzrayim, you know, to picture like we have, you know, the Sisabi the Mills, the Ten Commandments, you know, picture you sit there by the Seder and you picture like, you know, Technicolor, they have a big screen and they picture like, you know, Charlton Heston playing Moses, you know, like whatever. Like, no. What I am today, what I have, all of my chashivas is rooted in Yetzias Mitzrayim. It's rooted in that bechin of Yetzias Mitzrayim, which took place 3,300 years ago. It's affecting me today. Today, the Rosh is saying, I changed the Sidrei Habriya for you. Because you were important to me. And you're still important to me. And I want you to remember Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day. I want you to stop and to think. The Rosh says, I did it, that you today, in the year Tav Shanayin Ches, should have a chashivas to yourself. That's why I did it. I didn't do it for them only. I did it for you today. Whatever you have in your life, whatever you've accomplished in your life, whatever your dreams and your aspirations, it's all rooted in that relationship which was established then and it continues to this day. That's the Hakdamah you see to Matan Torah. I come to Matan Torah and I say, I'm ready to be Mekabel Torah because the Baruch Hashem says, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, Asher Tzitzicha Meretz Yisrael. I took you. You, not all of Christ, you personally. It was your own personal Yetzias Mitzrayim. And that's true today. We are an extension of that. We are a hemshich of that. That the Cheshivas of Rosh is willing to turn over all of the world to make sure that Eli Rangel should exist in Tav Shanayin Ches. That's what we're supposed to be thinking about. Every time we mention Zecher Yetzias Mitzrayim, once in the morning, once in the evening. And from that vantage point, we're healthy. We feel good about ourselves. So then, I can focus outward. I'm not worried about what you think about me. I can focus on giving to others. I feel comfortable with myself. And I'm a nice saint. I can fulfill the role that the Rosh Hashanah has for me because I'm not busy protecting myself and scared and worried. And I'm not measuring myself by anybody else. I'm better, I'm worse. There's no kina. There's no desire for covered. There's no kina. There's no covered. And there's no time for either. I'm not tempted by the world because I know I'm much better than that. I'm much greater than that. And that's what the Rebbe is saying, that the Pesach Rishon for all Avodah is to understand the Cheshivas of who we are and who our Avos are. And from that vantage point, we can talk about Kodesh Baruch Hu constantly growing.